With what God is and isn't looking for from us as we begin a new year, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
He's not really looking for your Bible reading and how much you're doing or your church attendance, which both of them are very important, but he is looking for your love for him, how you love him, how you've called him to come, and you've allowed him to work in your life. He loves that. So we were created for his pleasure, all things working for good, and that we would bear lasting fruit, that we would bring forth fruit to his glory.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love.
You know, in any relationship, be it a marriage or a friendship, it can so easily deteriorate. What once was solid as a rock is now distant or strained. It can also happen in our relationship with God, as we'll learn here today on Sound Doctrine. You know, so if things aren't where they should be between you and the Lord, well, keep listening. I think you'll get a lot out of this study from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Here's Pastor Jeff. Here on Sound Doctrine.
Father, won't you speak to me? Oh Lord, you know I'm listening. You know exactly what I need. So Father, won't you speak to me?
All right. Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 5. We're going to talk about a distant relationship brought close. This is part one. We're in a new chapter this morning, and we've been looking at the Song of Solomon as an allegory of Christ's relationship with his church, with us. And we left off in verse 16 of chapter 4. And he talked about, "Awake, north wind, come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit." She's just saying, "You come, Lord. You blessed me, whether it's a north wind, a south wind, it don't matter. Winter, summer, fall, spring, we all go through trials and tribulations. We all go through different seasons, right? But it doesn't matter because we're locked in to the Lord. And so whatever season you're in, it's all right. You know, it's good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. They come our way, don't they? I like what James says back in James chapter 1. James says it this way. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience." And then he says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So if you ask for patience this morning, guess what he's going to give you? A trial. Isn't that great? And it'll just teach you patience. Because all things are working for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things. So I like that. So she is speaking here, and because she's accepted whatever will come her way, she's a fragrance, and she calls him to come and partake of that fragrance. And so, Lord, come to us this morning and partake of this gathering that is just mind-blowing, that we would gather together to worship him, that we would gather together to hear from him, that we would gather together to receive from him. Wow. So, Lord, you come and enjoy this time. Partake. So he's not really looking for your Bible reading and how much you're doing or your church attendance, which both of them are very important. But he is looking for your love for him, how you love him, how you've called him to come. And you've allowed him to work in your life. He loves that. So we were created for his pleasure, all things working for good, and that we would bear lasting fruit, that we would bring forth fruit to his glory. So actually she is saying here in verse 16 of chapter 4, come Lord Jesus, I'm yours. Isn't that great? I mean, just total surrender. Just come. I'm yours. Chapter 5, he goes on and he begins to speak now. I am come into my garden. And he wants to come, okay? I'm coming to my garden. My sister, my spouse, this relationship, it's going to go into a marriage eventually. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice and have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink ye, and drink abundantly, O beloved. So he comes, he says, I'm come into my garden and into the myrrh. Myrrh is talking about a death. But here we see that there's going to be a distance. And this is the one area I want to hone in on this morning. His relationship with his beloved is strained a little bit. It's distant, which has happened and can happen with all of us in our relationship with him. It's called leaving your first love. You ever heard of that? I mean, it's there in Revelation. Don't do that. Don't leave your first love. Stay close. Repent. Come back to your first love. That's the one thing he had to tell them about. They were doing everything else right, but they left their first love. Or you could call it backsliding. Or you can call it being distant from the Lord. Yes, you come, you worship, you sing, you once in a while read your Bible, but still there's that distance that's there. And we're going to look at that. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Having loved this world. What does that do to someone? He departed from his faith. He left the Lord because of the world. It happens. It's always a danger for those walking with the Lord. Well, I thought once saved, always saved. Hey. It is amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. But what about falling from grace? You know, the Bible teaches both. We have to be careful with this precious relationship that we have with him. Jesus says it this way within the parable of the sower. He said, the seed falls in the weeds, a type of the world, the weeds. Its cares, its riches, its pleasures that choke out the word of God, that come and just push it away. And destroy it in our lives. So we have to be careful of the world and the things of this world. The chapter has a number of divisions, and this is kind of verse 1 goes along with verse 16 because they're fit together about his garden and my garden. And notice the myrrh, of course, is there's death involved, and of course, he died for our sins. And he says, I've drunk the wine and my milk. And that's just a statement that he's talking about, saying that, you know, this is something that has been a blessing. That which is wine, it stirs us. It gives us strength. The milk fills us. I mean, he says, eat and bring your friends. Drink. Yea, drink abundantly. So there's this call for us to take what we've been given and give it away to those around us. We've been given Jesus. Jesus says, tell your friends, tell your family, bring them in. Be a witness to them and for them to come to the Lord. I mean, that's important, and we got to steady on with that because sometimes we think we're spinning our wheels when no, we're not. Seeds are being sown, and they're watching us in everything that we do. In John chapter 4, verse 14, let me read it to you. This is some of the blessings that we get. He says, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." You'll never go after anything else once you taste and see. "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." This is a continual flow of what he gives to us. And he wants to just continue that flow in our lives and through our lives to those around us. So the living water, you need to ask for it. "Give me living water, Lord." And so as we respond to him and receive from him, I like that because that's exactly what's happening in our lives. We're to respond to his love. We love him because why? He first loved us. And so the cross was what God used to win the world. I mean, who would have thunk? How do you do that? But God knew the power of the cross. God knew the power of the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of men to free them from spiritual bondage. So a very powerful illustration to us. So over in John 14:23, back to John for a moment. In John 14:23, it says that Jesus said unto him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words." Interesting statement. If you love the Lord, you will keep his commandments. You'll stay in the word, and you'll know what he requires of you. Okay? "And my Father," Jesus said, "will love him." And, adding on, "we," so the Father and the Son, "will come into him and make our home with him and in him." Amazing. Jesus said, "We want to come and set up shop in your heart. We want to take that heart of stone, that hard heart, and we want to give you a heart of the Lord, the heart of agape, the heart of sacrificial service to the Lord and to those around you." So we're being changed by the Holy Spirit day in and day out by the power of God's Spirit to become more like him. We're being fashioned into him. Then verse 2, it says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." So here's her response now in verse 2. "I'm sleeping, my heart's awake. It is the voice of my beloved." So she's hearing the voice that is knocking, saying, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, my perfect one. For my head is filled with dew and the locks with my drops of the night." So her dream corresponds to her reality. I mean, they kind of meet. And as a relationship, it can go wrong. It can go sloppy. It can get old. It can get lazy, all right? And that's what's happening here. He's expressing his love, and there is a distance that is taking place. Because she's asleep, she does hear. Hopefully you have ears to hear this morning what the Spirit is saying. But there is a distance. The relationship is going through it. Remember Peter. It says in Luke 22, verse 54, that when Jesus was being taken into the palace of Caiaphas, they were going to beat him. He wasn't just beaten once. He was beaten twice. He was first brought into Caiaphas' palace, and there they took him into a pit, into a hole. And there in that pit, I've been down there with our groups many times, they beat him. They hung his hands up on either side and his face against the rock, and they lashed him and smote him and hit him. And it's horrible. They were taking him out. And what happened is that Peter, through all of this that's going on, it says that he was following afar. His relationship, all of a sudden, there was fear involved. There was danger involved, and he backed off, and he was following afar off, which is a very dangerous place to be in. And when I looked at that in Luke chapter 22 and verse 54, actually I went back through that chapter and he made a number of mistakes, actually four mistakes. The first one was in verse 33 when he said, "I won't let them take you, I will raise my sword." He was self-deceived, thinking he was running things. He is in control. We're never in control, guys. He's in control. Always give him complete control. There's no confusion with him. When you are in confusion, that's not of God. Did you know that? That's of the enemy. So when you're in confusion, don't go there. Get your eyes on the Lord, get into the Word, and get out of that, because you'll make a mistake. You'll make a wrong decision. No one wants to do that. But he blew it. He was self-deceived. The second mistake was his lack of prayer. Remember, the Lord says, go pray. And he was going to go a little bit further and pray over that rock and not my way, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And he came back to the guys and they were snoring. They were sleeping. They weren't praying. So he was having a lack of prayer in his life. So all these things are building. And then the third mistake, he got in the flesh. Remember, he took out his sword and he cut the servant's ear off. He was looking, you know, because they were coming. They were actually going to come and take Jesus. He just went crazy. And he took his sword out and aimed for the guy's head to take it off and missed and chopped his ear off. But he got in the flesh. And Jesus said, "Put that away, Jesus. That's not how the kingdom of God is. You don't use these instruments. You know, everybody's got to be packing, you know." No, you don't. If everybody had a gun, we'd have them going off all the time. That's crazy. But that's, you know, the society where we're at, everybody's in fear, right? Because that's all you see, just a lot of shooting. And we have more killing here than any war that's going on. It's crazy, isn't it? But that's flesh. That's not of the Lord. You say, "Yeah, but it's protection. You know, that's how come I got mine." Well, it can also be very dangerous and put you in a world of danger if anything was to come down. So, you know, it's better to just trust in the Lord and whatever comes will come. And God will get me through it. He'll put me through. Oh, he'll take me home. Maybe he wants me to go home. Boom, man, you're gone. Isn't that where we're headed? Home? This ain't our home. This place, if you call this home, oh man, I hate to see what you think about heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. I want to see him come. Our first love, he was in the flesh. The fourth and final mistake was that he listened to the devil's lies. He leaned to his own understanding about how things were coming down instead of trusting the Lord how it's really going to come down. And we need to learn that. But all because of these things, she's asleep, the door's locked, Peter's not watching, Peter's not ready. I hope you're ready when he comes back. We need to be ready. We need to have our wicks trimmed, our, you know, like the Matthew 25, the 10 virgins. There was 5 wise virgins, though, and 5 foolish. The 5 wise, they kept doing what they needed to do to be an Acts 2:42 Christian, and they kept oil on their lamps. Oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were always looking up, always knowing that the Lord could come back at any moment. The Lord does that. He makes us ready. He says, "You must be ready and watching, because I'm going to come in a time where no man knows the hour, but we certainly know the seasons. We certainly know that there's crazy days ahead. We certainly know that this world has never been like it is today. This is not repeating anything. This is bizarre. This is dark. Especially our nation, way dark. And we've never seen people like this and at each other's throats. It's crucial. We're really close. So we need to be watching." And then he's knocking. I like that scripture way back in Revelation where he says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold," Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him and he with me." Let's have fellowship. Let's walk together in this craziness. Let's be one. I want to walk with you through your trials and tribulations. I want to be your first love. I want to lead you the right way. I want to give you my righteousness, not yours, my righteousness. So when you get to heaven, you're going to say, "Wow, I can't believe I'm here." Well, thank you, Jesus, right? Thank you what you did for me. I'm here because of what you did on that cross, and I receive that unto myself. So he's knocking. And you know who he's talking to here? He's talking to Christians to wake up, to see that there's a distant discipleship that is not healthy, that we can get into, that we need to be warned of. So don't neglect. Don't be as Martha. Don't get angry. Don't just, you know, blame it on everybody else. Remember the whole story of Martha and Mary? They came to Martha's house. It was her house, but she's cooking this food for all these guys, and they're coming, and they had to wash their feet when they came in because they were filthy, and they did that. And they were cooking in the kitchen, and she was cutting all the vegetables up and everything. All of a sudden, Jesus came in the house. What did Mary do? Right out of the kitchen, at his feet. That's just, boom, that's Jesus is here, I'm at his feet, I want to hear, I want to take it in. And she was doing that. And Martha said, "Hey, where's Mary? This is wrong. What? Oh, no, she's out there with Jesus. Hey, Mary," and busted up the Bible study. "What are you doing out here? Come in and help me. How's these guys going to get fed?" Jesus said, "What she did is what is right. She's got the balance. She's going to help you, Martha. She's going to be there, and she's going to do her part. But she's balanced in that she spends time at his feet. Martha, the reason you're so angry and you're making mistakes in your life is that you're not doing that. You're always busy about everything, so cumbered, so burdened, you know, and you're uptight. Come on. Find the chilling at his feet. Find the place of peace and rest and good counsel at his feet." So that's a lesson for all of us.
God help us to have that sort of balance in our lives, modeled by Mary. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is where it's at. Today on Sound Doctrine, we've noticed how a distant relationship with God can be brought close. It's part of Pastor Jeff Johnson's study here in the Song of Solomon. You can use our toll-free number to order resources from us, like today's message on CD. That number is 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. And you can also access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Also, listen to Pastor Jeff through your mobile devices by downloading our app for free. Simply do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. We also would like to let you know that we live stream our services at Calvary Chapel Downey. Simply log on to ccdowney.com. Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 10:30, and again Sunday evenings at 6. Or you can join us in the middle of the week, Wednesday evenings at 7, and those are all Pacific time. Again, to watch these services live, simply go to ccdowney.com. Hey, would you like to be used by God in this new year? Allow me to recommend a book that can help you in that endeavor. It's called The Man God Uses by Chuck Smith. In this inspiring book, Chuck Smith uncovers the personal characteristics of the people God used throughout Scripture. He reveals 5 essential components of prayer, the danger of a lukewarm gospel, and the secret to the apostles' boldness. We'll send you a copy of this Man God Uses for just $8. go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call us 800-353-7553. We know these are difficult financial times for many of you, and they are for churches and radio ministries too. If the Lord has blessed you with a little extra this month, we'd very much appreciate your support right now. No gift is too great, no gift is too small, one time or monthly. It would not only be greatly appreciated, but it would be put to very good use, helping people all across the world have access to sound doctrine. Go online, sounddoctrineradio.org, and click donate. Or call us, 800-353-7553. Our study in the Song of Solomon continues next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,